at the core of is something called death and rebirth. And it occurs frequently. And in many ways, I think unobserved by most people until the final death. And one can only assume, based on patterning, that the final death has a rebirth as well. But we don't know that for a fact. On the other hand, there are certain intimations that move us in that direction. All of which brings me to the past week. So if you don't mind my keeping this personal and seeing if there's any universal truth in it at all, or if it's just about, you know, the Bruce journey. This has been a very rich and complicated period. I seem to move between periods of great awareness and no awareness, between feelings of great presence and great emptiness. And as I've discussed in the weeks past, the emptiness has proven to be very valuable. Because, excuse me, because what arises out of emptiness is so valuable and so unexpected. But the arrival at emptiness is challenging because it feels like the loss of everything. Everything that you think you have acquired, gained, understood, experienced. Meaninglessness, purposelessness, nothingness. Really intense back and forth. But it's been going on enough for me recently that I'm learning from it. And the thing I'm learning more than anything else is the aso moment. Aso, I feel presence and love and everything possible. So everything's taken away. And I'm learning to go, okay, so. Some days better than others. But when the loss prolongs itself, it is hard to stay in the aso moment, and yet it is crucial that you maintain that balance, which is a learned technique of going, please help me to surrender, to accept, to allow, whatever it is that we have been learning over the years with Rudy is a real dramatic teaching for allowing what arises to be without getting caught in it or repelled by it. We are living in very dynamic times, where there's a lot of repellence and there's a lot of attractiveness and there's a lot of things we want and a lot of things we don't want, and they're all rising and complicating our lives. Clearly, we've all been thrown into a truly new, dramatic, collective situation, which is the pandemic, which is cutting us off from so much of the world. I would assume, based on my experience and almost everyone I share with, that enough already, we've had it. The pandemic we got the message, time for it to be over, but it's not over. If anything, there's strange little signals that it may intensify. And so we're looking at all of this, and we're looking at the political world and all of the stuff that's going on. And if you're looking at it, and there is a kind of us-so, or there's a kind of reactivity. And I've been talking a lot about reactivity to what is in the world. And I am learning as an adult to react less, to surrender, to let go to what arises. It actually has gotten relatively dramatic for me, to the point now that I've had to turn off watching the news. I've been very compelled by the news for the last several years, but I finally got to a point where I cannot watch it. It's just too engaging in many ways and causes a lot of disruption. So I just said, no. What I've been doing in place of the news is I'm a member of the Motion Picture Academy. They have presented me with 200 plus movies on a site that I can go to watch. One a night for most of the year, if I was choosing to do that. I am not liking watching movies either. I'm finding it hard to engage stories because I'm engaging them with so much interactivity, emotional reactivity of a viewer. And yet I feel obliged, for whatever reason, being a member of a, you know, kind of a small group of people that I worked hard to arrive at, that I kind of think it's my role to watch movies, nominate movies, and have for a long time. This is the first time I've ever not wanted to watch movies, but I am watching them, and it's teaching me a lot. One of the things I'm learning, and I bring it up because if you go on this ride and this is your journey, you may find this quite fascinating. The part of you that surrenders and lets go and allows and goes, ah, so, is the you that you are now, the adult, the grown person. And the grown person can go, I can let that go, I can let that go, ah, so, ah, so. But then the shock of it is you let go of the adult person, and the reactor now is you as a child. And the you as a child, you think you've taken care of that because you became an adult. But what happens is you realize you haven't taken care of it. It's still there. This childlike fear, hope, love, drama, all of these things you felt when you were 4 years old and 3 years old and 7 years old, it's all still in play. And it also needs a kind of aso moment. But you can't begin to go to the aso moment until you let go of the adult being and discover how much is left yet to be done. And that which is left to be done is going through the whole of your system, which will arise. You don't have to do much. It's just there. And there are these little kids' feelings. And I discovered I want my mommy. I didn't know I wanted my mommy. I thought I'd gone past that long ago, but there became this hunger for mom, mothering. Fears that were part of my childhood start to arise. And I go, wow, I thought that was taken care of long ago. It was just buried in my adulthood. And so this flowering that occurs as you surrender and surrender more deeply and allow yourself to expand more deeply into the what is of presence will introduce you to layers of yourself that you thought were finished, taken care of, worked out, that are not worked out. They're still very much at play and need to be if you're going to go on this journey into emptiness and nothingness. You have to be able to let go of everything from the beginning of your incarnation on. And possibly, forgive me for trying to be didactic about this, but It may be past lives stuff. That's all still going to rise up, stuff that's collective in the unconscious, in the DNA, in the genetic code of your body that starts to arise and you go, what's that? It's so powerful. And yet you have to look at it and go, so relax, surrender. It's the deepening of letting go that takes place deeper and deeper and deeper. And then what happens when you really let go of something is there is a new surge of energy, which we might call rebirth. The renewal of presence, the renewal of you, the renewal of a larger you that rises into play and is so grateful for the magnitude of awareness, of joy, of presence, of being recreated in a way to still love and touch and enjoy the world and each other, that you give yourself back to that. And you have arrived at this moment of, but that's not so. Ah is a possession. So is a letting go. Getting back to rebirth is just part of the process of this thing that we go through, this honestly continual process of getting and letting go, getting and letting go, getting and letting go. But let me move into the movie side of this because I think it's really important and instructive. As a screenwriter, I'm very aware of this idea of what's called rooting interest. Rooting interest is why we stay watching a movie or why we keep going back to a streaming program. Rooting interest is wanting something to happen for someone you care about, something good. The way it really works is you meet a character at the beginning of a story, and then you do something to completely unbalance and disrupt their lives. That disruption grabs us emotionally. And we go, oh no. And we want something for that character, which is for them to come back together again beyond that disruption, whatever it may be, to find their way back to solidity, to safety, to happiness, whatever the thing is we're rooting for them to get. And there's always something called a time clock. Without a time clock, we have forever and there's no rooting interest. A time clock is they have to get this thing before that thing happens, before they die, before they the bank closes and they can't get there in time to save the house or whatever the thing is. If there's a time clock and there's a rooting interest, life is dynamic and we care about it and we reach for it. And the real journey of a life is not circular, it's spiral. You create equilibrium at the beginning, you rob it, you take it away in some terrible disruption, and the journey to get it back is a spiraling up to a place that looks exactly like where you were before, but it's a higher level of achievement. You've grown, you've transformed. You have taken the life experience and you've gone from here to here. That is the journey of a life. The uprising energy, transcendence, spiraling upward. That is what we are rooting for when we watch a movie, when we look at each other's lives. We want to see people move upward, expand, and ultimately succeed. Here's a big problem in that story. Every one of these new levels of equilibrium, the spiraling upward, the journey upward, still has an endpoint called death. And it kind of ruins the story. All this work and all this effort and all this stuff to get there, and then you die. So what's that about? What are we working for? And what I've discovered as a writer and as a meditator and as a person who's supposedly teaching this stuff is that this process of spiraling upward, of reaching for more, for higher levels of equilibrium, is really the life journey. And that the one thing that obstructs us more than anything is seeing the death experience at the end as making it all meaningless, or questioning what could that be about, or why do we have to go through that? There's so many sort of aspects of dying that get in the way of storytelling. You know, every happy story, life, and they lived happily ever after, is right around marriage. You don't go through the kids and the kids growing up and the grandchildren and then kids getting hurt and then one of the spouses dying and then you get old and then you get all these, you know, diabetes and you get arthritis and, you know, that they don't talk about in the happy ever after movies. You always end up with they got married and lived happily ever after. Well, happily ever after, I am discovering, has a lot to do with discovering what a wonderful life I've had and how lucky I've been to have a partner in this life who shared this journey with me. And now we are facing the end of the ride. The end of the ride is the end of the story. It may be why I don't like watching movies anymore, because I know no matter how they resolve themselves, they're going to die. They're going to lose each other. They're not going to get what they wanted. In the end, everything they got is going to be given away and they go into nothingness. But to personalize it again, I wake up in the morning, and because Blanche's hearing is bad and she can't hear alarm clocks, I have to wake her every morning. The journey of touching her and bringing her into awakened consciousness is one of the joys of my life. It is a journey of how do I touch without startling? How do I touch with gentility? How do I express love and compassion and gratitude with touch? And the joy that comes through me, and then she kind of, there's always a moment where you can kind of feel she got it. And we have this sharing, and it is so precious. And this love is so tangible. And we're both very aware. We sit at the dinner table and talk about how this is unfolding. And we're both losing our memory a lot. We're both becoming tipping point dementia, I suppose. I don't really know what it is, but it's not going to last forever. So what's it going to do? Well, all I can tell you is the more I arrive at us so, the more I arrive at a level of preciousness in the moment-to-moment unfolding of life that is beyond anything I have ever known before. And the only thing that mirrors it is when I sit deeply in myself and go into my heart chakra, into my belly chakra, and I go deep inside, it is the same place. It is the thing I touch when I touch Blanche in the morning, when I touch myself, when I reach into my own heart and I feel this, it's what I feel on the outside and I feel it on the inside. I cannot envision a life without Blanche. I cannot envision it. And I sometimes stand at the sink washing dishes and try to imagine what will this be like without her? Or maybe I'll be the lucky one and I'll be gone and she'll have to figure that one out. But the idea of being without her is so painful. You may remember I think 4 weeks ago or so, I got the vaccine shot and Blanche failed to get it because of a mistyped number on her email. And then that put me in a real state of despair because I couldn't imagine me being protected and my wife not being protected. Yesterday, the other night, she stayed up till 3 a.m. and got herself a slot in Albany in the end of March for another shot. And I went, oh, like the light at the end of the tunnel. And I felt like my world turned around. And then yesterday she gets a call out of nowhere that they're going to give her a shot on Thursday. And again, it's like explosion of gratitude, just gratitude that we're going to be on the same page again. This is like a Hollywood movie. The rooting interest for us to find our hand-holding moment where we're still in it together, it's so beautiful. And yet, we're facing finality. And that finality is the directionality of my meditative spiritual life. And what I'm experiencing day by day is how exquisite and extraordinary and joyous, and what a rooting interest I have in being alive, in breathing, in waking up next to my wife, in seeing the snow and seeing the cold weather and seeing the sunlight, gray skies. I am so grateful. And I know that there's going to be a taking away of all of that, and the little bits of exposure I get to what that will be is my meditative life. And my meditative life takes me into this really wonderful, deep, expansive space that basically says, this is what presence is. This is what it is. Unexplainable, ununderstandable, incomprehensible reality of which this story arises. This story that starts with love, that goes into a place of deep, wonderful balance. And then they call this at the beginning of the page 19 in a movie, you disturb the balance. And the journey through that life begins. How do I get that balance back? How do I find equilibrium? When I reach over to hug my wife in the morning and to help her wake up, that equilibrium is in place. It took 50 years. We went through all the stuff of a marriage, the repetition, the boredom, the annoyances, the frustrations, all of that stuff, all of it was there. We've come back to this moment of simple, simple presence. And it is a indicator, if you will, that one will live happily ever after. It is taking that moment from the wedding vow and putting it at the end and saying, yes, even here, happily ever after. And that is kind of a journey. Now, not everybody's married and not everybody has this particular kind of love story at the center. We all have our story, whatever that is. But the story basically is if you go inside and you find the comfort of self, and then you learn to go into the absence of everything and go into nothingness, and you have the courage to have nothing there, nothing there, and they will prolong that nothingness so that you have to really make peace with it, suddenly you will see the stirrings. It's like a little star flashing in a dark sky, the little stirrings of light. And that light begins to grow and the story begins to reappear, and it starts with light and love. And then there you are back into this rising energy, cycling upward, spiraling into higher and higher levels of equilibrium. And we have unbelievable rooting interest in every life that everyone we know will go on that journey upward to a point of revelation, comfort, insight, awareness, love, beauty, whatever that is, and the knowing how precious and how exquisite this knowing is. It is what we're doing here. It's the ride we are all on. I cannot explain the finality of things. I can only tell you indications and implications that I have and what other teachers have written about. It all possibly ends well, especially if you have lived according to the precepts of kindness, goodness, love, beauty that are programmed into you. If you have not, if you have lived a bad life, and if you have, if you're a bad guy, well, what are the rooting interests for a bad guy in a movie? Punishment. You want the bad guy punished, whatever. They deserve punishment. What does punishment mean in the larger scheme of things? It means an opportunity to learn from your experience and possibly to find retribution. That's a rooting interest. Even bad guys can have retribution. Even Shakespearean bad guys can have retribution. It may take a few thousand lifetimes or a few million lifetimes. I don't know what's involved and how long a ride it is to finally arrive at your retribution, but that's again a spiral of movement upward, and even that we root for. There are a lot of movies out right now about guys who've been in prison who come back into the world and get an opportunity to live it out properly. We root for that. And they almost always seem to find it through the innocence, through connecting to a kid. I mean, the stories that we keep seeing, and I'm so tired of, are all basically the same story. But when they are artfully done, and occasionally they are, when they speak to truth, when they are not programmatic, when you see a story that just takes you in and suddenly your heart is on the ride, your mind is on the ride, your belly is on the ride, you're in this character, you are empathizing, you are living their life, then you are having this extraordinary sense of what the human journey is, what we care about, where we're headed, what we're looking for, what we're rooting for. And if you get it in the end, there's a sense of, that's what life's about. That's what it is. So I'm here to tell you that if you are living an unconscious life, you can still go to a movie and get caught up in a journey and walk out of it and going, that was nice, and get me some more popcorn. Or you can come out of a movie and going, oh, and live differently. Live with new knowledge, new insight, new capacity to be an empathetic human being. It's kind of where you are in life. Everybody's at a different place in life, and every one of us is on a different part of the journey. You know, I'm getting emails and notes from people who are, some of us are going through really hard, difficult periods, but it only makes for a greater rooting interest. And what I'm finding, especially among the group of students that congregate here, is that we all have a certain amount of insight and capacity. And almost every one of us is using these lives that we have well. We are using these lives to grow and change and evolve and to attain something that is the rooting interest of our life, whatever that may be. We all have rooting interests. We have other people who are rooting for us. Believe me, that there are people who are. And if you live your life like a good Hollywood movie, you will arrive at happiness ever after. This is kind of where we're headed. And if I'm wrong on that, forgive me. It's like I've written bad movies and there are movies where that don't work, but I have a feeling that's where we're headed. So again, I can only talk to you about my journey. I cannot talk to you about the journey. I have arrived at more uncertainties and unknowings than I have ever imagined possible. I do not know the answers. I can only tell you projections based on what is being fed to me. And so I share it with you. If it speaks to you, great. If it doesn't speak to you, you figure it out. It's your trip. It's your journey. You figure it out. You got to figure it out for yourself anyway. It's not, you don't want to take it from somebody else. You want to figure it out. So start figuring, start listening, start paying attention, go in. What are you rooting for in your life? What do you want to have happen in your life? And I will tell you, half of us root for the wrong thing. You know, we root for I don't know, so many millions of dollars or so much comfort or whatever. And of course, what happens at the point of life that we're at, you know, somebody won $1 billion in a lottery the other day. I can't think of anything less meaningful. I wouldn't know what to do with $1 billion. I what, build another house? Are you kidding me? You know, I give it to my kids. That'll just throw them for a loop. What do you do with all that stuff? It's not what matters. What matters is that you wrote the nicest note ever to somebody you really care about. What really matters is you just finished doing a painting that absolutely makes you feel like this was worth the time and effort. You know, I take a photograph and I go, oh, no one will see it but me. But it doesn't matter. Oh, you know, it's just the way it is. Joseph's done these photographs that I have downstairs, and I walk in the room and they're just there, and I go, oh, over and over and over and over. You know, it's like years of beauty coming at me from something he did years ago. This is, you know, we do what we do, we have our life, we live our life, and then it's over, and it's going to be over for everyone. Let us all try to arrive at happily ever after. That's, I think, the goal, happily ever after. And it isn't projected into the distant future, it's projected into the next moment you're alive. That's what we're headed to. So, love you guys very much. This is, it's a real gift to me that you show up for this, and I appreciate it very, very much. And I will be back in 2 weeks. My grandson's turning 7 on Thursday, which is amazing. Blanche is getting her shot on Thursday, which is like incredible. I'm getting my last shot on Tuesday. So we're all starting to re-enter into the world that we would like it to be. And if you turn off the news, it's even better. Any questions, anything anybody needs to ask about or curiosities? Enough of Bruce, right? Oh, Shelley?
Yeah, you know, it's Academy Awards night.
Yeah.
You know, time. Mm-hmm. So just wondering what you think about some of the movies. Are you watching them enough to vote?
I am watching them, and I am seeing some really wonderful movies, surprisingly wonderful movies. The one that took me by surprise more than anything, and I really recommend it, and I think it's on Netflix or Amazon, it's called First Cow. If you want to see a movie, I mean, I cannot tell you why it's so good, but it just totally grabbed me as real and emotional and the rooting interest. And I'm finding, because of what I'm going through, that I cannot have any distance from what I'm watching. It's almost too painful. But this one was so lovely in so many ways, and painful, and so much about the things I'm teaching, I think, which are about kindness. And it starts out with a quote, and I forgot who the quote is from, but it really spoke to me. It said, "What a nest is to a bird and a spider's web is to a spider, friendship is to a human being." That's what the movie's about, and I loved it. And I love Nomadland, which I talked about last week, and I like the trial of Chicago 7, which was very good. There's probably more on the list. The Night in Miami, which is very good film. A surprising number of films that I don't always expect that I will like, but that really I just find speak to me. But also I have no memory, so. Until I got the list to check off again, there are probably many more that I'm not remembering right now. But Blanche and I are watching a film tonight, so have a list. Anybody else?
I just want to say you said so many profound things today, and a lot of what I feel myself. And I'm supposed to go get my shot today, and I thought I wish I had my mom to take me there, just like she did when I had my first, you know. Shot when I was a little kid, and ran through the doctor's office, you know, scrambling under his desk because my brother had screamed when he got his, you know, so it's like those feelings are still there. And yet, you know, I'm a new person.
I'm trying to speak to that as much as I can. I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared to find myself with childhood fears and loves and attachments. I thought that was finished. So I mention it only because, you know, people talk about awakening and all that stuff as though it's a final act and though, as though it's something achieved forever. That's not anywhere near what my experience is. It is definitely a evolutionary process, and may continue to be that. You know, I'm not someone who thinks there's a permanence anywhere. You know, I just haven't felt that. It's like it's always in transformation as long as you're in the realm of duality, which we live in. But you can have enough return to the source, which you get in sleep and which you get in meditation, where you go back to this restorative self and it just comforts you and says, you're doing great, go on back and deal with the world. It's really remarkable. I hope you have a good shot today.
Bruce?
Yes.
I don't know, it's sort of a dark thing, but I just remember when the policeman's knee was on George Floyd's neck, he was calling for his mom. You know, so we never get away from that. You know?
That I think the whole Black Lives Movement really regenerated from that moment, George. We've never seen a person die before on camera. We just haven't seen it. We haven't had cell phones around to capture stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That moment brought us to a closer to a reality of that, what death is, what it feels like, why calling out for mama is important, and also what terminality is. It's horrifying on some level for a psyche that is not prepared to let go. And you think you are until that little voice comes up to you again and you go, oh, that's still there. So there's a lot of work. The spiritual practice that we do is deeper, more prolonged, and more profound than anything I think we've ever imagined. And I keep finding depths to it that I didn't know I was going to find. And I share them with you. I keep feeling it makes me feel like a failure on some level because you think, oh, he should be past all that. I'm not past all that. It's still unfolding. But I figure if I just share it, it'll speak to somebody. And if it doesn't speak to you, then you'll find someone who speaks to you. That's the way I look at it. I don't have any vested interest in proving anything. I'm just trying to, you know, let it unfold. So I know is you guys make me sit in front of a camera every Sunday because you show up. And something in me rises up to meet that occasion. And I learn from it as much as anybody else learns from it. I watch it unfold. I have very little to do with the talk, except that I become a mouthpiece for it. And I can turn on a talk from anywhere along the years that I've been talking. And it speaks to me as though I'm just a student sitting there. It's really amazing. So this is not about a personal thing. It's about service and being available for the collective, for all of us to learn from. And we are learning and we're growing. And I'm rooting for every one of us to arrive at that last moment and go, yeah, that was worth it. That was worth it. I think that's kind of what I would like it to be. Like, wow, good life. That was a good life. That would be nice if we can arrive at that and not go, oh, I should have done it. I wish I had. You don't want that. If you can get past that, so there's no strings pulling you back to the unfinished business of your life. Like you just lived it, loved it, did what you could do, did the best onward, whatever that may be. And it will be still scary a little bit, and you will be abandoned a little bit, but you will breathe through it, and you will find that the last final test of your life is saying yes to the last final moment of your life. It takes a life's work to do that. It really does. And we're all doing it, every one of us. Everyone here is doing it, and everyone here is growing. Everyone here is growing, and I can feel it. I feel it when I sit with you. I just get like, wow, I am so lucky to meet and know all these people. That's the feeling I get. It's really amazing.
Bruce?
Yes. Cynthia?
When I saw you right now, like I'm always love your movie Ghost. because my first time movie, and then I saw you, and then I come to America, see you right, sure. Like right now. I can English good, but
no, I know how important Ghost was for you, and I know how amazing it was for you to meet the person who wrote it. And it's also amazing for me to know that that had that power over you, that it actually affected somebody and brought them into my life. So it's a really beautiful full circle that happens.
Yeah, because when have some friend give me money to buy ticket, so your movie, the name is good. But I not, this money, I not buy ticket. I buy food from my friend. one day I want to see people how to make a story. Ghost, I saw like this. And then I meet you. I'm very happy.
I've been happy as well that I met you. It's really a wonderful story. Thank you. That's the next movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of important.
Very nice.
Thanks, guys. Oh, unless there's anything else important, I think we... is there another?
I just wanted... a message of gratitude. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
And I watched Ghost for the first time in a long time last night. Again, I have it to show my fiance's mother. She's 91 years old. And she'd seen it many decades ago, but she saw it in a new way. She received in a way that, and it's so, I'm so grateful to have seen it again now.
Let me tell you, it's a really interesting thing if you're a person in the world. You put things into the world, and 99 times out of 10, out of 100, you will not ever get feedback from it. And yet, there it is. It's come, and it's helped people, and you will never know. And it's just how it works. We help each other through so many different ways of being. And one of the great lessons I'm getting, honestly, is Blanche feeds the birds outside our window. Every day she goes and she fills the feeder and chases away the squirrels, and the birds come in droves and they eat. And I know they love Blanche. They don't know Blanche. They don't even know she exists. She has no place in their psyche, but they love her to pieces because she provides. God does not know how much, he's not loved directly, or she's not loved directly, because most of us just take it for granted, but something provides that seed, something provides that food, provides that life, and it doesn't get recognition hardly ever. No bird comes to the window and pecks and goes, thank you, thank you, thank you for feeding me every day. Nothing does that. The universe gives and gives and gives, and if any of us has one moment that just goes inside and realizes the thing that's giving and says, thank you, the person or the being or the creator that has made all this possible goes, thank you back. And I'm going to leave on those words.